Technology is really great. It's a wonderful tool. Right now, the radio service that's been pre-recorded is playing, and I invited people to text in their prayer request. So Jan Strickland, text, please pray for Maria Mutis, who's been diagnosed with a recurrence of cancer. And Tiffany Klarner would like for the family of to pray for the family of Gary McCormick on his passing, and also for Hilda, help me out with this, Garish, thanks. Thank you so much. All right. First of all, I want to say thanks to Gene Reardon for leading the worship and bringing the word while I was away the last two Sundays. I didn't go on a hunting safari or visit the great museums of Europe, but I had a wonderful time exhaling, and I went to my place in Goliad and did some work there. It was a good time to be away and to inventory, to take a look at things from afar, and not feel like I had to be anywhere. And so, while I was on vacation, I decided to continue to go even deeper into my devotionals. So I have this book, Prayer for God's Servants, Ministers and God's Servants, and in it is an opening prayer, and then there is a psalm that you read every day of that week, and then there are scripture passages assigned for every day that week, different scriptures for every day that week, and then there is a time for reading spiritual writings from different writers in the past, and there's also a time for journaling, and then there's a benediction, time for prayer, then benediction. And so on the first Wednesday of my vacation, I came across the 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23 passage. And before reading it, I thought to myself, oh, gosh, 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23, what could it just possibly be? You know, I've read this Bible from cover to cover several times. I'm a student of the Holy Writ, but here I go. I'm gonna be obedient, right? I'm just gonna read the word and see how it speaks to me. So I read the scripture passage, and it was like so fresh, right? The word of God just spoke so fresh. I was enlightened by it. I wanted to go deeper and further into it because the word of God is called the living word. And the reason it's called the living word is that we mature over time, right? We can read a scripture passage and come to one conclusion from reading it at one time in our life, and then we can go to another time in our life and read it, and it will speak to us differently, right? So the word of God is a living word, and it speaks to us differently in different seasons of our life. So I'd read this passage before, I am sure. In fact, I even shared it with some of my colleagues in ministry, and they said, God, I don't even remember reading that one. So I didn't feel so bad. And here is this passage about Aram, an enemy of Israel, King Aram, leading his army to fight against Israel. In short, what takes place is that Elisha leads them to Samaria, where they are surrounded by the army of Israel. And the king of Israel says, shall we kill them? And Elisha says, no. He does something counterintuitive. He tells them, no, I don't want you to kill them. I want you to set a great feast. Great feast, the Bible says, before them. A feast of with water. Now, what constitutes a great feast in the Bible? Are you ready? I'm glad you're sitting down. Because it's not choice meat. Lots of meat, right? Lots of meat. Lentils of some kind, some beans somewhere, pita bread, some dates, figs, raisins, that sort of thing. So there's a great feast with music, and it's It's a great feast. But it's not this marbled red meat, right? Lean meat. In fact, in biblical times, the best meat was a lump of fat. Doesn't that just sound good? It was a lump of fat. Now, what did they do when they had a big feast? They killed a fatted calf, right? Okay, you wanted to get the best fat. And the best fat was given to the guest of honor. So when you went to a house and you were seated before the family, and in fact, they didn't sit down on tables and chairs, they sat on the ground. They were given a lump of fat, a plate with a lump of fat for them to enjoy. Doesn't that just sound good? So here they are, this big army, giving this great feast. And the army was so impressed by their hospitality that they no longer raided Israel. They no longer attacked Israel. I think that's just beautiful. Now, we like to eat with friends and family, right? We like to eat with colleagues. We like to eat with people that we feel comfortable with. Amen? We like to do that. We pride ourselves in Mason and Art and Hilda and Castell and Fredericksburg, Brady, Lano. Did I miss anybody? Sorry if I did. But we pride ourselves in being good cooks. We like to eat food, right? And we like to eat good food. But we don't like to eat food with our enemies. If anything, we avoid it. What's so important about eating with someone, sharing hospitality with somebody else, is the fellowship that takes place in a serving of that food. I remember one time in a church that I served a long time ago in a land far, far away, there was a congregation that I served at that was very good in helping this woman with her transition in life, very difficult times in her life. And what happened was that she invited me to come to her house to eat. And this lady served me fried Spam mixed with green beans and tomatoes and onions with a side dish of beans and tortillas and sweet tea. Was that good? It was good. Now, I've eaten some pretty good meals since then, but I can't remember with who and when and what was served. But I can remember that meal because of the love that was served with it. Here it is, Israel doing something counterintuitive and serving a feast for their enemy. Now, how did this speak to me? Well, I thought about all the violence that's going on with the riots. And the protest. And I fantasize in my head, in my heart, what the churches of Christ are doing in the midst of that. Shame on them if they're boarding up and closing up and hiding. I fantasize what would it look like if they made a feast for both the rioters, the protesters, and the law enforcement to come and eat in their church, in the fellowship hall, outside. What would that look like? What would that look like for a great feast of some of the best cooks in Christendom all over the world, all over the country, to be able to provide a feast for people who are at war with each other? Now, we folks in Mason are removed from that. We're removed from that. We don't have Molotov cocktail bombs being thrown in our streets. But there needs to be a response. There should be a response. One of my favorite stories about surprises in terms of eating with people unexpected happened in 2017 in Arizona. What happened was that a woman by the name of Wanda Dench, an older white woman from Phoenix, Arizona, by the name of Wanda Dench, accidentally texted a 17-year-old young black man by the name of Jamal Hinton from Chandler, Arizona. Have you ever received a text from somebody you didn't know? Well, Jamal received a text from somebody he didn't know, and this person was Wanda. And this is the text conversation that I'm going to read for you. Wanda text, "Thanksgiving at my house on November the 24th at 3 p.m. Let me know if you're coming. Hope to see you soon." Jamal texts back, "Who is this?" Wanda Dench texts, "Your grandma." Jamal texts back to Wanda, "Show me your, text me your picture." Wanda texts her picture. And when Jamal texts Wanda, "You not my grandma. Can I still get a plate though?" And Wanda texts back to Jamal, "Of course you can. That's what grandmas do. Feed everyone." So, guess what? Jamal goes to Wanda's for Thanksgiving and enjoys Thanksgiving with her family. Since then, they've been celebrating Thanksgiving together. Jamal got married, has a child, and they all gather together at Wanda Dench's home with her family to celebrate Thanksgiving. The Lord didn't let me rest. Disciples' time is that Carol Ann said is you can be your own prophet. So the Lord was helping me to wrestle with a response to the Black Lives Matter, to the riots, to all that's taking place in our country today. So this is what I've decided to do. Okay. Glad you're sitting down. All right. Houston Tillotson College University in Austin, Texas, is one of the oldest black colleges in the state of Texas. Texas A&M Prairie View is the other. And I called the chaplain, Donald Barrington, at the Houston Tillotson University. And I said, "Donald, this is who I am. This is where our pastor. I've been in the pastor 36 years. And he said, "I've been in the pastor for 30 years, and I remember you from San Antonio." And we reconnected, which is sweet, right? Which is sweet. So Donald, I said to him, "Donald, there's some misconceptions about who people are in Mason, Texas. And there's some people in Mason, Texas that have misconceptions about who black people are in Austin. And what I want to do is invite you and some teachers and students to come down to Mason, where you will be my guest, where you can sit down and ask important questions, and I'll feed you, and you'll eat till the world looks level." And I mean that. And we'll have conversation and fellowship and build the kingdom of God, because that's what God wants us to do. Not to be hooked by what the media is telling us we need to think and believe, but by who God wants us to be. Because the Lord wants us to create space for peace to be made. For the lion shall eat with the what? The lamb. That's the kingdom of God. And that's who we are to be. So when I go backpacking with my pastor friends, I tell them, I'm going whether you're coming or not. And that's true. I'm going to go hiking on a trail whether you're coming or not. I'm going to go to West Texas whether you're coming or not. And they come, right? So I'm going to do this whether you're coming or not. If you want to join me, I'd invite you to. Let me know if you want to join me in having this conversation with the folks from Houston Tillotson College. And if I will keep you informed. If you see me walking with a group of black people, African Americans through Mason, Texas, that's what that's going to be about. Building bridges for the sake of Christ. Building peace for the sake of the cause of Christ. And when I invited people to join me at the park, the Dockles said, we'll provide the brisket. I said, we're on it. You know, there's a lot of fat on a brisket. That's a big feast right there. It's coming together. People started opening up their homes, saying they could stay with us. They could stay over here. We could make this happen. We're bigger than this. And what gives us the power to be able to do that is that we have the roots and the spiritual legacy to be able to make this happen. So won't you join me in building the kingdom for God, that we may be a witness to the world of the goodness of God that is with us now. May it be so not only in our life in Mason, Texas, may it be so also in the lives of our brothers and sisters in congregations where that kind of violence is taking place and those protests are happening. We cannot let evil win. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.